Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. Welcome, men of God and women of God, to this special men emphasis Sunday morning. Now, if you didn't get the announcement or hear about what's happening after the service today, and if you are watching live, and I hope you are watching live, there is a special fellowship time at the church. We're just going to have hot dogs, and they're not just those little small maple leaf type ones. We're going like with the Costco hot dogs. We're having some hearty hot dogs. And for the first 200 people, hey, after 200, I don't know what you'll be getting. I'm not too sure. Maybe just a smile and a glass of water. But hey, from 12 till 2, we're going to be gathering. There's going to be certain ways that we're going to have to do it because of COVID-19. But it's going to be a good time of fellowship. And so I encourage you to come out to that. I'm looking forward to meeting and talking with people. And so come on out to that event. So here is the thing I have found about Father's Day as in comparison to Mother's Day. Have you ever noticed that when we have a Mother's Day service, we honor our mothers? But when we have Father's Day, we challenge our fathers. And I always kind of felt bad about that, but I have come to realize that this is something which is normal. This is something that is necessary because men are different than women. The truest title of a book was that one written about 20 years ago, or maybe even 30 years ago now, which said, "Men are from Mars and women are from Venus." I think it was by a fellow named John Gray. But there is a lot of truth in that statement, and it wasn't always that way. In the late 70s and maybe part of the early 1980s, the militant feminist movement basically said that men and women are exactly alike. And if you thought that men were different from women, that you were condescending and biased, and it should never ever be done that way. But we have found out that that is actually not the case. There's actually one individual who had talked about that. His name was Anson Dorrance, and he was a soccer coach, and he was one of the top NCAA coaches in soccer. And as a matter of fact, I think he had won awards for being a coach of the year in the men's division and also in the women's division. He kind of has done both. One of the few people who's actually done that. And he was talking, and I kind of came across a seminar or a talk he had done, and it was called the Mars and Venus of Soccer. And he kind of dispelled the difference between men and women as he related to them, because he said in 1979, when I got into this, I was told that men and women are totally different. And so I treated the men and the women exactly the same, and we made a whole lot of mistakes. And all of a sudden, we began to define our culture based on the mistakes that we're making. He kind of said a whole bunch of things. One of the things that he said is, well, with men, I always use videotape. And with women, I barely use videotape. And I all of a sudden realized that if you talk to a man and you say something, he will automatically think that you are talking about the guy beside him and not really himself. And so what happened is we had to show videos to show them what they did wrong. And said, "Johnson, this is what you did wrong." And they said, "Well, no, coach, it wasn't me, it was the other guy." And all of a sudden, they would show the videotape of him making the mistake, and he'd say, "Well, there's something wrong. Someone else is actually wearing my number." He said, if you are talking to men, you have to talk to them directly, because if you don't talk to them directly and let them know that you're talking to them, they will assume that you are talking to someone else. For the women, he said, I use video just to kind of encourage them, to show them all the things that they did well. He said another occasion, was when it was halftime and they were down and you needed that motivating talk. And so what happens is the guys are down, and he said, I would pace back and forth. He said, then all of a sudden I would start challenging him, and I start yelling at him, and all of a sudden in the process I would see a garbage can in the corner of my eye, and I would go and I kick the garbage can, and it would go across the room, and the men would be motivated to do better in the second half. He said, if I was in a halftime room discussing with the ladies' soccer team and I kicked a garbage can across the room, they would think that I was psychotic. He says, but instead, I would pace back and forth enough to cause them to be tortured. And then I would turn to them and say, so girls, what do you think we did wrong? And he said that every single one of the girls would take upon themselves everything that they had done wrong. And so they would devote themselves to doing better. It was kind of interesting. Here's another thing that happened. He said, if I praised guys, I would do it publicly. He would say, hey, Johnson, you were great. You carried this team. If it wasn't for you, we would have lost the game. And the rest of the group would say, hey, Johnson, and then they would slap him on the back. And they would say, what a wonderful job that you've done. He said, but if I went into the girls afterwards and I said, hey, Mary, you did a wonderful job. If it wasn't for you, you carried the team. If it wasn't for you, we would have lost the game. Well, what would have happened was all the girls would hate Mary. And not only that, all the girls would hate me because they didn't get any praise from me. And not only that, Mary would hate me for pointing her out. You see, men are different from women. So I'm saying all that to say this. Hey, man, I am talking to you. I'm not talking to your wife. I'm not talking to anyone else. So this message is for you. And so, guys, we have to get it together. Guys, we got to... Well, I guess you didn't see me kick the garbage can. See, that's the problem with having recorded services. That would have been great in a public service, but, oh, anyways. So, let's kind of talk about this. Theodore Roosevelt had some great quotes on men and manliness. Here's one thing that he said. We need the iron qualities that go with true manhood. We need the positive virtues of resolution, of courage, of indomitable will, of power to do without shrinking the rough work that always needs to be done. I think that this Father's Day is an important one because I think that in the next little while, our society is going to shift with the changes that we have seen. And men are no longer going to be able to sit back and allow others to do the work that I believe God has destined them to do. If the church is going to go ahead, it will be because men will stand up and take the position that God has created for them. So let's ask, what is that position? Well, there's lots of scriptures that you can read, but one of the main ones is found in Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, or if you have your Bible app, or we do have it on the screen here. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25, probably one of the most popular passages in all of the book of Ephesians, and it says this: Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. And then it goes on and it says, without sin or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, this is one of the most controversial passages of scripture as Paul is talking about how wives need to treat and respect their husbands and how husbands are supposed to love their wives. And I didn't talk about the wife part because I didn't want to really muddy the water a whole lot. I wanted to try and focus on the subject at hand. And it's the fact that if the guy does his part, everything else will fall into place. Loving your wife like Christ loves the church, if this is obeyed, every other issue is resolved. Like, I've never met a wife and I've never met a child who has never had a problem submitting to a husband or a father who sacrificially loves them like Christ loves the church. So how do you do this? Well, it's not easy. It demands a lot. As a matter of fact, it demands a lot of things. The first thing it demands is a cost. It is something which will cost us something. Just take a look at the scripture that says that God so loved that he gave. If you're going to be talking about being a real man, one of the first words you're going to have to learn is the word which says sacrifice. That real love will sacrifice. If there was a YouTube video which is called The Art of Manliness. Actually, there's a podcast which is called The Art of Manliness. And as I was watching it, one of the things it said is, so what is the definition of a man? Well, the definition of a man probably is that which is opposite of a child. And many times a child will be selfish and they will be self-centered and fearful and dependent. To be a man is actually to incorporate the opposite. You take a look at every man that you have looked up to, and before long you will observe that that has been a person who has sacrificed for the people that they care for. Hey, manliness demands a cost, but that's not all that it demands. It demands courage. It demands the ability to stand up when it is unpopular to do so. So when Christ lived on this earth, he had courage. We need to have courage. Winston Churchill said this about courage. He said, courage is the first human qualities because it is the quality that guarantees all others. It seems that the cost and courage kind of go hand in hand. And the truth be told, we all admire somebody because of their courage, don't you? Just think of somebody who has been courageous, someone who has stood up when it has been unpopular, someone who has been willing to not back down, to be able to stand for the principles that they have had to. And we are kind of living in a time where we need to have courage, because you know what? There are other courageous people who are standing against the things that we need to be courageous for. Courageous ask, are you willing to go against the flow? What are you willing to stand up for? What are you willing to be so passionate for that you are unwilling to back down? It demands courage. But that's not all it demands. It demands character. Take a look at Christ's example. It took a lot of character for him to do what he had done. Character kind of encompasses stuff like the ability to be honest and reliable and dependable, to be a man of your word, to get up every morning to work hard. And we admire men who have that. There's someone who said this: we need to be men of character, not men of caricature. Someone said this: watch your thoughts, they lead to attitudes, and watch your attitudes, they lead to words, and watch your words because they lead to actions, and watch your actions because they lead to habits, and watch your habits because they lead to character, and watch your character because it leads to destiny. See, character is revealed consistently every day. It's not something which is developed in a day. It is the thing that says who you are. And there's lots of things that reveal character. Your character is revealed in how you treat people who don't matter to you. Your character is revealed not when everybody is looking. Your character is revealed when nobody's looking. And character is especially revealed when you are absolutely under the pressure. Character means everything. It demands character. And not only does it demand character, it demands commitment. When Jesus died on the cross, it was not something that had to be done loosely. He came down from heaven and he lived a perfect life and he paid the ultimate price. It was a commitment. The truth is this: you will always be committed to something. Even if you're committed to being lazy, that is a commitment that you're going to have. And hey, being committed to something means that you will only be committed to one or two things. You can't be committed to everything. You're either going to be committed to your family, or you're going to be committed to going out with your buddies all the time, but you can't be committed to both. See, the truth is, you will always be committed to something. You know, people who are addicted are committed to their drinking. They're committed to their gambling. They are committed to their addictions. You see, the issue is not whether you are committed, but really, what are you committed to? What is your time committed to? What is your presence committed to? What is your money committed to? What is your heart committed to? It demands commitment. But not only that, again, it demands conviction. What really do you believe at your core? What is the core thing that you are passionate about? I'm not talking about opinions. Opinions go up and down. Opinions are kind of here for a little while. Convictions are the things that drive you. Convictions are the core things that make you do the things that you do. They're the things that make you make courageous steps. Paul was a man of conviction. Just kind of look at what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Take a look at the book of James. James says right at the beginning, he says, don't be a double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. With the conviction that you have, you will have a level of stability. And it also demands one more thing. And it's one of those things that you think doesn't sound too manly. But it also demands compassion. Compassion at its core is what we stand for as men. Because you know what? Men many times will ultimately do the important things, not so much for ourselves, but we will do it for other people. There's something about love and compassion that will make men do crazy things. Man, stop and think of some of the crazy things that you have done for love. I think of some real crazy things. I won't tell you here. Maybe if we sat down one time and said, tell me some of the crazy things that you've done for love. I said, listen, will you have a few hours? I've done some crazy things. There's something about the motivation of love that makes us do stuff that we never normally would do. It's the thing that kind of causes you to do the right thing that perhaps you normally wouldn't do. I think of it this way. If I'm outside or inside my house, and as I look outside of my house, I see a kitten there, and there's a rabid dog about to attack that kitten, and I sit there and I say, oh no, that's terrible. And I close the curtain thinking that poor kitty. But you know what? I don't care enough for that cat. And I'm actually a cat person. But I don't care enough for that cat for me to stand in front of a rabid dog for. However, if you change the scenario and you see that same rabid dog there and your child is there in the backyard with that dog, well, you know what? You are going to tear through that house. You are going to stand in front of that dog, in front of your child, because the only difference between the one scenario and the other scenario is the deep love that you have. You see, love is the ultimate motivator. And we need men who have compassion. Compassion not just for their wife, and compassion not just for their children, but for their church. And for their community. Because let me tell you, there is coming a time when we are going to have men of compassion that will need to stand in the midst of a growing frustration and a growing hatred. Have you kind of noticed what's happening out there? You got a lot of angry people saying some angry things, and it's especially easy to say angry things when you are a distance away, sitting behind your computer, saying things where you won't have to be accountable in person. What's going to combat that? We're living in a growing hostile world that's looking for something which is real. And we need men of compassion who are going to stand up and are going to do things not because it's for themselves, but because they love their wife and they love their kids and they love their community and they love their church, to be able to somehow stand and to make a difference. It is the ultimate character thing that we have. Jesus didn't come and die because he had nothing to do, Jesus didn't come and die on the cross because he was bored, thought, hey, it might be a good idea to go through this ultimate suffering. No, it's not what he did. Christ came out of compassion because you were lost and I was lost. And there was a price that needed to be paid that we couldn't possibly pay. We were at a point where we are absolutely hopeless. And what was the solution? The God of compassion came and lived his life for us and paid the ultimate price because he had compassion on our lives. Love and compassion are the ultimate quality of a real man. And so, hey, as men, it's that thing that causes us to go out with our kids and say, hey, you got this. You got this. So in conclusion, let me just give you some parting words. I don't know whether they're parting words of wisdom or not. Hey men, I'm talking to you, not talking to anyone else per se. And ladies, I'm glad that you are here to listen along, but I'm talking to the men today. And I just want to say thank you in advance for standing up and doing the things that you do. God, we are going to need men who are going to stand. I don't know exactly what's going to happen within the next year, but I think I have enough spiritual constitution to say, if we're going to go ahead, if we are going to make inroads, it is going to be because men are going to stand up. There has not been a vision that has been fulfilled with men sitting around and taking the second seat. And that's not a biased thing. It's not a sexist thing. It is a biblical thing. So men, it is time to stand. It is time to go ahead. And you will not be happier until you take the position that God has for you to do and stand up. You can take detours. You can take detours your whole life. But the problem with that is that you get to the end of the life, to your life, and you realize you never, ever fulfilled what you were created to do. And that's the worst thing that you want. So if I can encourage you, it would be, don't take the detour. Be the man that God wants you to be. So God, I just pray that you will minister to each and every heart. And God, I pray somehow in some way, the word of God will penetrate every man's heart and challenge them to stand up, to be men that will love their wives, but not just love their wives, will love their children and will go out and make a difference in their communities and make a difference in the church, because God, that's what you are calling us to be. You're calling us to be men. And I know, Lord, that it is easier to do the opposite. It is easier to default, but that's not what you're calling us to do. So I pray, Father, that you'll do something in the inmost parts of every man's heart and challenge us, oh God, to make a difference. I pray this completely. In Jesus' name, bless every family, every father, every man, every family. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Hopefully we see you at the hot dog run, which is happening in just a little while. God bless. If you need help in any ways, please contact us. We're wanting to make a difference, and we will be meeting together very soon in church. So keep yourself posted, as we are going to have announcements as to opening times as we get into 1 or 2 weeks ahead. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.